The word of God is unchanged. You've heard it said before, pick your poison. It means either choice has consequences. It often suggests a bit of cynicism. There's no good choice, there's no way out. The lesson from our epistle reading from the second letter of Timothy today is similar. Instead of pick your poison, it is choose your chains. And we say this without any hint of cynicism. Paul was an apostle in chains. Such is my gospel, he said, for which I am suffering, even to the point of chains, like a criminal. He could not but preach the gospel despite the chains. He says, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. Such is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of chains, like a criminal. And Paul's voice prevailed. Remember Jesus Christ, he said, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. Such is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of chains, like a criminal. And then he adds, but the word of God is not chained. The word of God goes forward despite the shackles on Paul's ankles. Even more so because of them. The witness of those who love God's word with their whole life cannot be stopped. The Christian, in his or her life, encounters three kinds of chains. The first is freedom from the chains of sin. If you're in Christ, then you are unchained. You no longer have to sin. You don't have to prove yourself before God. Our Lord Jesus Christ pleads for you. You're no longer driven by pleasure seeking because you have something more. You have the Holy Spirit within you. You are free to live courageously. You are a partaker of the resurrection. Despite all this, do you ever still feel inhibited, though, as if you're in chains? When you are called to share the gospel to family or friends, do you ever feel the chains of inhibition? Or how about the workplace? People often talk about being self-conscious when trying to say grace in public. Has your witness, your call to boldness, ever been compromised by fear of failure or fear of disapproval? We don't often call this persecution, but ultimately that is what we fear. At its heart, this is what we can call the fear of man. And as my professor once said, if you have a heartbeat, then yes, you do encounter fear of man at one time or another. In fact, typically often. So the question, of course, is then, how do we overcome these, what feels like chains of inhibition, to lay hold of the freedom that we have in Christ? Well, there are many promises in the gospel. And one of them is that you will face persecution. Later on in the same epistle, Paul says to Timothy, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It's a promise. And if you're not being persecuted, then the question is, are you really living the gospel? So there's a choice before you. Choose your chains. You're either chained by silence for fear of persecution or disapproval, or you speak and act and face the chains of persecution later. Which will you choose? Aren't you glad we have an upbeat, encouraging message today? Of course, neither of these options seems appealing. So let me help you choose. With the first option, the chain of silence, you surely will not prevail. With the second chain, the chain of persecution, you surely will prevail. It's counterintuitive, but the chains of persecution will never prevail against you. Let's take a closer look. Briefly at the chains of silence, then the chains of persecution, and then for this canonization day, how the unchained word prevailed in the life of Blessed John Henry Newman, or now Saint John Henry Newman. And the point of all this, of course, is to help us choose the right chains in our lives. The chains, first the chains of silence. You've tried to be bold, to share the gospel, and you are rejected. By being silent, you can save yourself that pain from happening again. Once bitten, twice shy, is the familiar saying. And you're guaranteed safety this way, but not success. This is a sorry place to live your life. In our passage today, our epistle reading, Paul recounts a saying in his day, "If we deny him, he will deny us." But even if you don't fear facing our Lord in this way, the life of safety is simply unsatisfying. Because you will look back and say, "Did I make the most of my time?" And you will know the answer. Teddy Roosevelt famously said, "Far better is it to dare mighty things, to win glorious triumphs even though checkered by failure, than to rank with those poor spirits who neither enjoy nor suffer much because they live in a gray twilight that knows not victory nor defeat." And so the question then, if you have been living in that gray twilight, how do you go forward? Well, let's also consider this saying that Paul quotes from his day that he quotes in our epistle. "If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." That's our Lord Jesus Christ he's referring to. So the answer to this challenge is not to get rid of fear of man, which will happen to all of us, but to see the faithfulness of God, which is stronger than that fear. And that is the source of our freedom. So now let's take a look at those chains of persecution. Paul lived for others. And for him, persecution was a small thing if he might win some for Christ. So in our epistle reading, he says, "Therefore, I bear with everything for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, together with eternal glory." In other words, he hopes that they too might live boldly for the gospel like him. He did not suffer these chains so that others might shrink back. No, he did this so that others might be inspired to follow in his way And this is the way of salvation. Later on in this same letter, he says to Timothy that some Christians do shrink back. They become heartless, slanderous were his words, and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So the question is, where do we choose pleasure over persecution? But then he says to Timothy, you, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my persecutions and my sufferings. Which persecutions, he says, I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. And this is the context, brothers and sisters, in which he says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And so this is that persecution which St. John Henry Newman embraced. Now, I wish I had a full 10 minutes to give some highlights about how persecution had a place in his life, but I really only have time to share a very brief summary. But consider, Newman was not somebody who sought the limelight, but because of his love for the Word of God, he found himself the leader of the Oxford movement. And so he became fairly well known writing the tracts of the times, until he wrote Tract 90, where he suggested that Catholic understanding could be read into those, the 39 articles, which helped to define the life of England, the ecclesiological church life of England. But the people broadly considered him a traitor for suggesting such a thing, even though all the previous tracts moved the readers to that understanding, to suggest that we could read this into the 39 articles was going too far. And so, he said, every pub and every parlor of England, his name was reviled. And because of this, he even had to step down from his position in Oxford, the place which he loved so much. He was in chains, so to speak, that he could no longer continue his professorship there. And so he entered into a time of discernment. And in this time, he didn't immediately decide he had to become Catholic, but he discerned. That's where God was leading him. But then once he became Catholic, there was no chance of him ever being able to preach from Oxford again. Those chains were permanent. But to make matters worse, he was distrusted even among Catholics. After much happened in his life, he went to Ireland and tried to start lead a university there. That didn't work. He came back to England. He felt like a failure because he wasn't accepted anywhere. But even at this point, because of what influence was left, even a Catholic bishop said, Newman is the most dangerous man in all of England. Talk about being chained. Here's this retiring academic of a man, right? And this is how it continued until at long last he wrote his apologia. And what does that mean? Defense, the same word that we find in 1 Peter, where he says, have a ready defense for the hope that is within you. And then at long last, towards the end of his life, people saw his love of the word for God. And they saw how he lived the word of God, even through these persecutions. And they sought his preaching anew. The word of God, you see, was unchained. But where did Newman get the hope to persevere this way? Where did it come from? Well, let's consider our Lord Jesus Christ. Because when the soldiers came, likely 600 of them, to put him into chains, what was his response? They came to him and they said, look, seeking Jesus of Nazareth. And he said to them, all right, this is after the Garden of Gethsemane, you remember. He said, "I am he." Of course, he could have said, "Jesus went that away." But no, he said, "I am he." And he said, "If therefore you seek me, let these go their way," referring to his disciples. "Let them go free and take me." For he said, so that the saying might be fulfilled, "Of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none." And so the Blessed Virgin Mary, of course, understood this to be an eternal freeing. And that is why she was able to stand with our Lord at the cross. And this is what inspired Newman, as he said of the Blessed Virgin Mary, she did not grovel in the dust, but stood upright to receive the blows along with our Lord. The apostles, of course, were all scattered. But after the resurrection, they too stood. And even though they all had shackles to the end of their lives, they knew that because of this witness, the word of God is unchained and would go forth. And so the challenge for you and me, when we go to the altar today, is to throw off those chains of fear as the disciples did by virtue of the resurrection. For, as Paul said in our passage, if we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we persevere, we shall also reign with him. So ask yourself, where are you afraid to speak the gospel in self-sacrificial love? Where are you afraid to stand in self-sacrificial love and embrace the chains of the gospel? And then see yourself speaking and standing with boldness, and watch the unchained power of the word of God go forth.